good evening, everyone. If you've been wondering who the speaker would be, if you were here Sunday and you realized our pastor is out of town. Ministering to a church that we've come to know in Canada, and so be praying for him as he's up there. I don't know why anyone would want to go to Canada in November, but I guess with a pastor's heart, he has gone, and so pray for his safe return. I normally don't wear a suit on Wednesday nights, and so when you saw me in a jacket, you must have said, uh-huh, Brother Jim must be the speaker for tonight. And I was explaining to Brother Price a few months ago why I don't wear a suit on Wednesday evening. There's a principle in business that you dress for the job that you want. If you're working in a store and you want to move into management, the idea is you start to dress more and more like a manager. And I want to be different from the pastor so that you don't think in any way that I am wanting to go into that job. But from time to time, the pastor does call me to speak, and I'm a little bit reluctant to do so, but also happy to do so, happy to help out. There's quite a few people in Scripture that were reluctant, and we're going to look at one tonight. I think of Abraham as being perhaps somewhat of a reluctant leader, and Moses was reluctant. He thought he needed Aaron to speak for him. And tonight we're going to look at Gideon, who I think of as a reluctant leader, but certainly someone that God used. In the book of Judges, is where our scripture is going to come from tonight, the book of Judges, chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Judges, chapter 6, and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. There was a situation. Israel was outnumbered by the people who lived around them. And they were in dire straits. And this was brought upon them because of their own doing. Verse 1 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord had sent this calamity upon them as judgment. They were in dire straits. They would plant, and just as their crop was coming up to be harvested, their enemies would come in and steal it, take all their goods. It's kind of like if you look at your paycheck after you worked and you see all the deductions being taken out of it, and you say, where is the money going? Well, the Israelites were there. They were working hard, but when it came payday, their enemies would come in and steal their paycheck, and so they were working for nothing, and so they were in dire straits. But at least they knew who to turn to. They needed to turn to the Lord, and we find that in verse number 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So God first of all sent a prophet to point out the source of their calamity. A prophet first, and then a deliverer, and an unlikely deliverer by the name of Gideon. Verse number 11 of chapter 6. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Well, there's something that could be said about Gideon. First of all, he had not given up. He was doing something. Now, the proper place to do the threshing was out in the open, where there'd be a wind to carry off the chaff when you would thresh the grain. But here, because of the enemy around them, and he's afraid that they would come and steal the grain, he's doing it in secret, in hiding, by the wine press. But at least he was doing something. He had not given up. It's interesting how the angel of the Lord addresses Gideon. Here he calls him a mighty man of valor. I can just imagine Gideon at this point looking around to see who the angel is talking to, because he certainly didn't think of himself as a mighty man of valor. Sometimes a customer will come into my store and they'll say, Well, hello there, young man. And I'm thinking, is there somebody else here? He's not talking to me. And that's how Gideon must have felt when the angel of the Lord addressed him as a mighty man of valor. But God saw in Gideon someone that he could use. In verse number 15, And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon knew that in his own power he was not up to the task. He was of perhaps the smallest tribe of Israel, the lowest, the weakest on the status symbol. His family was the lowest and weakest of the tribe, and he was the lowest and weakest of his family. It reminds me of when Samuel was anointing David king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7, it talks about how the Lord sees things a little bit differently than we see things. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7, here we find how God looks upon things. 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find a similar thought expressed, how that God looks on the hearts of men. He's not impressed by their muscles and their height and what people would look upon and be impressed with, but indeed God looks on the heart. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 25, here we read, Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Our pastor has been teaching a series on the apostles, and just getting started on it, in fact. And one thing we notice about the apostles that Jesus called is they weren't rulers, they weren't priests, they weren't well established, they were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were just ordinary people. But God can use ordinary people if they're willing to submit to him. Now sure, God uses talented people if they will give him the glory, but Gideon had all that he needed. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 16, Judges 6, verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. This is the first of several signs that Gideon requested. And in the Old Testament, God dealt with his people using signs. They didn't have God's word before them. They didn't have a history of God showing himself strong on their behalf. And so quite often, they would ask for a sign. Now, God allowed this. God didn't really approve of it. In fact, when Jesus was ministering, he said, this is an evil generation. They seek after a sign. But God did work through signs and wonders to build the confidence of people he was trying to use for his behalf. And the first of these signs we find in verse number 18. It says, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, and an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So here we find one of these signs that God had given to Gideon to kind of boost his confidence level. And here this angel of the Lord does a miracle as far as bringing fire out of the rock to consume this gift that Gideon had brought. In verse number 24, we find that Gideon built an altar. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Now the following passages, we see the test, the signs that Gideon requested. And again, God allowed this to boost his confidence. And first of all, he asked Gideon to destroy the altar of Baal. And we find this in verse number 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. Gideon is still a reluctant servant, God has given him something to do here to destroy the altar of Baal, but he's still somewhat afraid. He wouldn't do it in the daytime. He does it at night. And we see the reaction of the men of the city in verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash has kind of an interesting reaction to this. He wasn't angry with what his son has done. See in verse number 31, and Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? Let he that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. For if he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. So Gideon's father, Joash, kind of had the right idea. We've been worshiping this god, false god, Baal, but what is he able to do? He can't protect himself. Here my son has cut down the grove and cast down the altar, but the god we've been worshiping, this false god, is powerless to do anything about it. And so I think Joash was beginning to see the light here. But that was the first of the assignments that God had given Gideon to do. Look now in verse number 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning, and thrust the fleece altogether, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So Gideon's not sure. He's still reluctant. He's wanting another sign. And the sign he has chosen, that he was going to put out a fleece, the skin of a lamb, of a sheep. And the test was that if the fleece was wet and all the ground around it was dry, Gideon would take it as a sign that the Lord was with him. And so the next morning it says he wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Well, apparently that was not enough for Gideon, because in verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all on the ground. The only thing I would charge Gideon here is this sign that he had here didn't have anything to do with the task that God wanted him to do. You know, sometimes God wants us to do certain things. He might want us to take on a ministry. He might want us to move. He might have, we don't know what the task that God has for you, but there are certain requirements for that task. And I've shared this before with my own life. You know, I was up in Georgia, and I felt that I needed to be closer to my parents. My dad at that time had dementia, and my mom was caring for him by herself. And so I felt that I needed to be down here. But there were certain things that had to take place for that to happen. I had a piece of property where I was living in Georgia. Well, I had to sell that property, and I had to have a place to live once I moved down here, and I had to have a job at that time. And so it was very encouraging over a period of time to watch God working in my life, meeting those very real needs associated with that move. You know, I didn't put out fleece. I just laid before God the things that I needed to accomplish the task that he had for me. And it was very encouraging to watch him work. And perhaps that's occurring in your life. Perhaps you feel God is leading you in a particular direction. You know, don't say, well, if a crow flies over my head, then I'll know that you're wanting me to do this. You know, but there are certain things that you'll need to accomplish God's will. and lay them out before the Lord and watch as He moves on your behalf and accomplishes those things. And God doesn't condemn Gideon or scold him for his lack of faith. But in times of decision, don't lay out fleece. Lay out your needs. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 31, we find an application of this principle as well. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 31, here we read, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we've seen here in the life of Gideon, first of all, that he was busy. He hadn't given up. He was busy doing what he could, and God took him and used him for the task that was before him. In Judges chapter 7 and verse number 2, you know the story of Gideon, how God has chosen him to defeat the enemy. And first of all, he starts with a very large army. But in Judges 7 verse 2, God says, well, there's just too many here. You know, if you have a big army and you defeat the enemy, you'll say, well, my army beat your army. And God wanted to get the glory. And to do that, he had to have just a few people fighting with Gideon. And in Judges 7:2, here we read, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. So God whittled down the number. In verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go every man to his place. Well, you might say, 300 against how many? How many were down in the valley? How many Midianites and Amalekites and children of the east were they fighting against with just these 300? And we find that in verse number 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. This was a huge army that they were up against, and just with 300 men. And that was because the glory needed to go to God. It wasn't Gideon. It wasn't the army he had raised. When God gave the victory, it would be truly God only. And we find this in verse number 22. Let's read verse 21 first of all. Now let's go back to verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zerath and to the border of Abel-Mithah unto Tabith. So God got the victory in his own way with just a few people so that everyone would know that the victory came from God. But God here used Gideon, someone who wasn't particularly special in any way, except he was willing to be used and he trusted God for the result. And I pray that that will be true in all of our lives. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this account of Gideon, a reluctant leader, Lord, who you used in a mighty way. Father, I know there are people here that you want to use, and may we be willing to submit ourselves to your use in whatever way you would have us to serve you. Father, just be with us in the days ahead. be with our pastor, bring him home and his family safely. Help us to live for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.